Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. As we look in the Word of God, while you're turning in your Bible there, the theme of this chapter we're looking at is deals with the credentials. And Paul's going to cover a lot of those. And we're going to start reading with a key verse, which is starting verse 6. 24 verses, 453 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. This particular chapter is a 6.3 grade level, and it starts off the first five verses dealt with the explanation of the gospel, and he points out about the gospel, what it, how Christ gave himself for our sins and things. And then we get to verses 6 through 9, where we'll be at tonight. We deal with the perversion of the gospel in this part of the outline. And as we look in Galatians chapter 1, if you look starting at verse number 6, the Bible says this: I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. As we look in the Bible tonight in Galatians chapter 1, I want to preach to you tonight on how to spot cults. How to spot cults. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you, God, for letting us be here tonight and be alive. Father, we want to thank you, God, that while we're here, Lord, we can get around the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God will illuminate the text to us. Lord, we pray for understanding tonight, according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Yes. Open thy mind eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray, God, you'd help me to preach, anoint me in the Holy Ghost and blood of Jesus. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord is tonight. And Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight in these verses, the Bible teaches us how literally to spot a cult from what it's teaching us here about this perversion of the gospel that Paul's going to deal with that was going on in those churches in the region of Galatia. The number one thing he shows us in verse 6, if you look at verse 6, is we see their distorted message. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They have a distorted message of salvation. And that distorted message, that other gospel he's talking about, if you'll take hold your place here and look over to Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible tells us plainly what the gospel is. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says it deals with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, when you get down to verse number 8, the Bible says, therefore, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So what we find out is salvation is by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. You can't add to it. In sanctification, salvation, and justification, it's all in Christ, and it's by faith. It's by grace. What these people were doing was they were coming in and teaching that you had to have something to go with the grace of God to be saved. When these people would testify that God had saved them, they had a group of people there in Galatia, these cultic type people, these cults was moving in, they're saying this: that's good you're saved, but you're not really saved unless you're saved, if you made a profession of faith, and you're doing this over here. And that can, in our day and age, it can be about anything. Well, we're glad you made a profession of faith, but you're not really going to heaven unless you get baptized. We're glad that you made a profession of faith, but you're not really going to heaven unless you're talking in tongues. We're glad you're going to heaven. We're glad you made your profession of faith, but you're not really going to heaven unless you dress like I dress. I'm glad that you got made a profession of faith, but I really am. But you're not really going to heaven unless you. I mean, there's all kind of cults out there.
Right.
But when they add to the grace of God,
right,
you can't add to it.
Right.
He said, by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves.
Right.
I noticed that when salvation's called out there in Ephesians 2:8, it says it's the gift of God. They had the gift of God, but now somebody's come along and tricked them, saying, well, you gotta come to church on the Sabbath or you're not really going to heaven. You see, there's all kinds of them cults out there, and the way to spot them, number one, is they have a distorted message about going to heaven.
Right.
They add to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Do you know that the Bible says you are complete in Him in Colossians 2:10? That means there's nothing you can add to Him and what He's done,
right,
no matter what kind of deal you think you're striking with God.
Right.
I've seen people come along and say, well, Lord, I'll get saved. Because you saved me, I'm going to do such and such to keep my salvation. You can't keep it. He's the one that keeps it.
Right.
He's the one that gave it to you.
Right.
He's the one that keeps it. The Bible tells us plainly again, it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. When people try to tell me, I think I can lose it, I always like to ask them a question to help them out. When were you born? And they know when they were born. They know all about themselves. And so I was born on blah, 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 1951 and 63 and 82 and all of that. They know exactly when. And in this day and age, they ain't about to tell you the time. They can tell you all that. And I like to ask them this next question. Just help them out now. If you believe you lose your salvation, help you out. When did Jesus die? I think it was before you was born, right?
Right.
So sometime in the 1920s, right?
Come on.
So 2,000 years ago, a man you never met died for your sins.
Right.
When he died, the day he died for your sins, which one of your sins was future?
All of them.
So when you got saved, what did you get saved from? The Bible said in Matthew chapter 1, you got saved from your sins.
Right.
And if you got saved from your sins, and you saved by Christ, and it's the gift of God, guess what? You can't add to that if you tried.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of it was future.
Yeah.
And then there pops up this question. If you go back to Galatians chapter 1, people say, well, now, can't I just not confess my sins? Well, which one are you not going to confess if they all future when He died?
Well, yeah.
When you accepted His payment for your sins, which one of your sins did you leave out? He had them all in mind. And see, the distorted message, their distorted message is that what Christ did for you is not good enough. You've got to add to it. Let me ask you this. Have you ever met somebody that says, well, if I die, like if I were to commit suicide, or if I died and didn't confess my sins before I died, then I couldn't go to heaven. You've heard people say that? Here's a problem with that theory. Ready for it? What gets somebody to heaven? Is it confession of sins or acceptance of Christ? Acceptance of Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves.
Right.
It is the gift of God. And it says there like this, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Right.
Can you imagine somebody coming along with their little distorted cult message, and they actually did go to heaven with their little works gospel, and they got up there and said, well, Jesus, it's good to meet you. I'm glad I could help you get me here.
Yeah.
I appreciate the half you did. Now tell me how my half was good too. No, when you get to heaven, you're going to find out something. When you walk in the door there, it's not going to be about you and anything you did. It's going to be all about Him and what He did. When we get up there and they start calling out the great things of God, they're not going to list you as a contributor. They're going to list you as a trophy.
Yeah.
Listen, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That means after you get saved, He does something through you to make you more like Him. Therefore, He's doing all the working. See, if you've got a works gospel, you have a worthless gospel in the eyes of God, because
right,
it's not of works.
That's right.
Secondly, let me say this in Galatians chapter 1, in verse number 7, we see their distorted message, but we see also their deceived messengers. He says in verse number 7 about this other gospel, another gospel, he said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And these deceived messengers, what they end up doing is they really don't help anybody. The only thing they like to do is argue. And you may be married to somebody like that, but listen to this.
Amen.
when they come up with this distorted message and these deceived messengers come up, they just want to trouble God's people.
Yeah.
I'll give you some for instances that'll help you out. Probably happened to you after you got saved. I've seen people that was drunkards, and they would work somewhere, and everybody knew that was just that. As somebody that would come Friday night, they wouldn't have a paycheck by Monday morning. They'd go out to borrow money for crackers at the 10 o'clock break on Monday morning, fooled up with dope, drinking everything like that, or fooled up with harlots and everything under the sun, and then God saves them. Now, prior to them getting saved, they told dirty jokes, and so the rest of the crowd at work. Okay? And then that person winds up getting saved because there's a lost sinner. The shepherd sought them out and saved them. And then the strangest thing happens. They go back to work going to tell them guys how they get saved because they want to see them get saved because they know they lost because he is lost. And they go back and find out something. Everybody there's saved. They wasn't saved Friday, but now they're saved on Monday. They didn't get saved after you told them you were saved. And now all of a sudden they say, well, if you want to come to a real church, you got to come to my church. Let me ask you something. How many's ever done you that way? Listen to this. I have never seen a beat in my life. I've got friends that pastor churches. They go out soul winning faithfully. They love the Lord, love lost people, try to win them to Christ. But as soon as they win them to Jesus, either family or friends comes along and says, well, it's good that you saved, now come to church with us. We have children's programs. We have youth outings. We have old people programs. They have all that stuff. They don't call it that, of course, but they'll tell you anything to get you there.
Yeah.
And the catch line of a cult is this. Just try us one service. Just one service. If you'll just come one service, just one, you'll see that we are the stuff. And listen to this. The strangest thing is these deceived messengers don't tell is that their discourse out of their mouth, according to Matthew 12:34, reveals the abundance of their heart. They didn't have a message when you was out there drinking every weekend. They didn't have a message when you was in a mess over there with in dope or alcohol or in adultery or whatever it was. They didn't have a message. But as soon as you get saved, now they got a message for you. That reminded me of that missionary that showed the picture show up there, and he was headed out to Utah, and he got to that part where they showed that drunk on the park bench, passed out. He is homeless, had the old beard and everything, old tattered clothes, and he said this. He said, the cults have no message for this man.
Right.
Can I tell you something? The cults still have no message for him.
Right. Yep.
Because listen, while you were out there in sin, floundering out in sin, they could not help you because they have no power. But what they do is they send their deceived messengers out, and they go out and tell you, listen, they start troubling God's people. Do you know I read a statistic that out of a worldwide Jehovah's Witnesses, 85% of them were Baptists at one time. They had no message for them while they were lost. They had no message for them while they were on their way to hell. Oh, now that you're a religious person, we need to talk to you. Oh, well, that's not really going to hell. That's Gehenna. That's Hades. That's not, you just die. You don't go to hell. You go to the grave and you get burned up. I'm sorry, but there'll be a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses in hell because of deceived messengers telling them there is no hell. They can work their way to heaven.
Yeah, right.
I hate to inform them of that tonight. Listen, if you're a Russellite, listen to this. Here's the problem you run into. If salvation is by grace through faith and it's not of yourselves, you can quit selling your magazines. You don't need to if you're saved.
Right.
Yeah. See, you think somebody like that could be saved? Man, now listen. I wouldn't doubt that all the people I think saved are lost, and all the lost people I think are lost are saved sometimes. But I do know this much. When you get to these deceived messengers right here, they don't have another gospel. They have a false gospel, and they're led around, and all the things they do is they trouble God's people. Prior to you getting saved and loving on Jesus, guess what? They never even told you about it.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, well, we got this great church. Well, you got to tell me the dirty jokes last Thursday, right? Now that I'm saved, I come to here on Monday, I'm saved, and all of a sudden, you got a church for me? I wouldn't go to your church if mine was on fire. That's right. I wouldn't go to your church and tell your people goodbye if I went to it prior to today. I wouldn't do it. You know why? They're a cult.
Right.
They're trying to add to the gospel.
Right.
And notice this also. Their dissertation and what they say, that shows a heart problem, but their destination reveals a heart problem. See, for everybody that says, well, once you go to the grave, you're annihilated and there's no coming back. Guess what? Revelation chapter 20, Jesus Christ himself calls up death, hell, and the grave.
Right.
And notice that hell and the grave are two separate things in Revelation 20. If he's calling up them three things, you know what? That means it ain't over when you die.
Right.
There's something else.
Right.
And listen, the Bible says in Luke 16, that rich man died, the second he passed from death, I mean, from life to death, he was in hell in torments, lifting up his eyes towards heaven, begging for one drop of water and in torments. Now, I see that their destination reveals what the real problem is. They have a heart problem, not a head problem, a heart problem.
Right.
See, they've been deceived by some deceived messengers. Anybody can be deceived.
Right.
I found out that amongst the people I know and know well, even the wisest people I know can be taken if the right deceiver comes along. I've seen people come up with these grand schemes and how they're going to pull this stuff off, and they'd come knock on the door of my house and try to tell me about it, and I tell them right flat, there's no way. And then I find out that not only does something like that happen, but then they'll turn around and have these little deals where they'll go to somebody else's house that I believe is smarter than me, wiser than me, and they'll get them hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
As if they wasn't even sitting there. Then they'll go over to them sometimes. They'll tell them somebody that I perceive is not as smart or as wise as I am. They'll flat turn them down and say, no, you get out of my house, and I'll come to my house and I'll suck it right in and like a bass in a lake ready to strike. Don't ever say you can't be deceived.
Right.
And the reason I say that is because there's this entity, this being known as Satan, who loves to hear human beings say, you'll never get me. Let me tell you something. This time next year, you don't know who may or may not be here because the devil deceived them.
Right.
You just can't never tell. Listen, I know it's by the grace of God that don't happen to any of us.
Right.
But you better be careful saying they won't get me. They will get you too.
Right.
I've heard these types that, they say, well, they ain't going to get me. I'm tight on my money. Somebody will get them.
Yeah.
Anybody can get deceived. But I'm trying to tell you tonight, they trouble God's people and they trouble God's plan. God's plan's simple. You come to Christ with your sins, He died to pay for your sins and was raised again the third day, and that is sufficient for salvation. You accept Him, you've accepted God's plan. Don't let these deceived messengers come along and trouble God's plan, because God's plan still works. By the way, listen to this. As we look at this stuff right here, you look down at verse number 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now he said, as we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now listen to this. We see their destiny here in these verses manifest. They are headed to a devil's hell. They're headed there. And the reason they are is not because, listen to this, it's not because they've accepted Christ as their Savior and fell out of it. These people here are led astray and are leading people astray. They are the blind leading the blind.
Right.
Let me show you something. Go over to Luke chapter 20. I want to show you something we run into in Sunday school this morning. It'll be a real help to everybody. One of my favorite chapters in the Gospel of Luke. And it starts off with something I can identify with. It says in verse 1, it was one of those days. I'm telling you, I've had several one of those days. But when they came up to Jesus, and they asked him, by what authority you do these things? By John, he says, whose authority are you with? You know what he said? I got a question for you. He said, John's baptism was from heaven or men. Well, they got together, huddled up, and they said this. We can't tell, because they knew if they said it was from heaven, then they got to go get baptized. But if they said it was from men, then the people would stone them, because they took John being a prophet. So they said, we can't tell. You know what Jesus said? I ain't telling you either.
Yeah.
Then he goes down, and he gives them the parable of the vineyard, and tells them how that the husbandman was left to take care of the vineyard, and then the man that owned it would send messengers to find out what's going on, then stone them and everything like that. He said, well, I'll send my beloved son, they'll reverence him, and guess what? They killed him. That's a picture of what's fixing to happen there.
Yeah.
And then we get down, and he asks them, they come up and says, well, should we pay our taxes? Hey, Christian, listen to me. Should we pay our taxes? Yes.
Yeah.
He says, how do we know we should? He said, let me see one of your pennies. And I love this more than anything. He didn't ask them for a denarius. He asked them for a penny. Your King James Bible is far more updated than any other translation on the market, because I have never in my life had a denarius or would know what one is if I put it in my hand. That's all them other translations that go to the modern language, they put denarius in there.
Yeah.
That's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to update the language, but we don't want to tell you, we're going to take the word penny out that you would understand.
Yeah.
He said, let me see that penny. He looks at it and said, he said, who is this guy? He said, that's Caesar. He said, render to Caesar things of Caesar and unto God the things of God's. And then the strangest thing happens. They come back and they have some men. It says they come up and they don't even believe in the resurrection. They come up to Jesus and say, well, that's this man. He had a wife. And he died. And he had seven brothers. And all of them began to marry that wife. And all of them died. So in resurrection, whose wife is she? Now listen to this. If I had six brothers and the oldest brother married a woman and the next brother married him after he died and he died, I would not be husband three.
Amen.
I mean, I can be deceived, but my goodness. If they said, well, it's in the law, you got to do that lawbreaker right here. I mean, I know I'm going to go one day, but I ain't going to go that route. But he answered their question and told them that the children of the world marry, give them marriage, and so forth, and put them in their place again. But if you look down at verse 39, then certain of the scribes answered and said, Master, thou hast well said. And after they durst not ask him any question at all. When they durst not ask him, they couldn't say another word. Yep. Well, you've told us good, we're going to leave. Then something happens. Verse 41, and he said unto them. You know what's happened? God's getting the last word.
Yeah.
See, their destiny, the cult's destiny works like this. You cannot believe there's a hell all you want to. You can say that your version of this perverted gospel, this cult you're in, is the way to heaven. And God has turned away from these churches and he's got his own movement. He's doing this and so forth like that. And you can say he's not using this Bible like he used to and all that. You can say all that all you want to. But it don't make you right. I've had people tell me, they say, well, when I die, what I've done good and what I've done bad, that'll be weighed out on this big scale and God will see that I've done good and it'll weigh this way. But the problem is, there's none that do good, no, not one. The problem is that people don't understand is that God is not looking for good people. He's looking for bad people. In fact, the previous chapter in Luke, in chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He ain't looking for good works. And when it says in this Bible that the Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way, he's not looking for you to be that good man. He's looking at Jesus Christ as being that good man.
Right.
And he's looking for us to be in Christ. If we're in Christ, we're covered.
Right.
Our sins are washed away, but if we're not in Christ, we face the judgment. And all it takes is one sin there. Not a group, one. Listen, when we look at Luke chapter 20, I'm telling you this stuff, and he says, all right, and he said unto them, he gives them one last thing. Do you know one day God's going to have a last word?
Yeah.
I know people right now, you can't say the last word to them. Bless their hearts. If you get in a fight with them, if you hit them last and knock them out, they're going to reach up and tap your toe and say, I got you last. Then pass out on you. There's people right now, if you hang up on the phone on them, and y'all are mad. You hang up, they'll call you back. Just hang up on you, say that last word. And they think God is going to let them get by with all that. They think that when you come up to them and say, here's what the Bible says concerning this. I want to see you get saved. You're in a works cult. You need to get saved. It's by the grace of God.
Right.
And you take the Bible and answer every question they got. And they'll say, well, I guess you've told me I'll have to consider all this. In other words, I'm getting the last word. That's what they tried with Jesus. Guess what? You don't get the last word on God. Because their destiny is manifest. They're headed to a place that's made for the devil and his angels. It's not made for you. But if you reject Christ, you'll go there. I see that Paul is trying to straighten out of churches in the whole region. I can imagine what he was going through, because he's not going and dealing with one church. He's dealing with several where these cult people have got in there and infiltrated. No doubt some of them are Sunday school teachers, deacons, and maybe even pastoring outfit. And he's writing this letter to them to let them know that you've got people in there that are lying to you about the very gospel that you've already accepted, and they've got you going to another gospel. But get this. He said, though we are an angel preaching any other gospel. Do you know what people resort to when you get them, when the Bible contradicts them? One of two things is coming. You ready? God told me. God told me. I got news for you. God has already told us.
Right.
And He's not going to contradict this book for nobody on earth ever, ever.
Right.
In fact, when He deals with us in the Word of God, He has the final say. He said to them, He's got the final say. This very book that people try to say, well, I know the Bible says that, but look at what God told me. Let me tell you something. He's going to say unto you, just like He said in Revelation chapter 20, He said to them, all that was not found written in the Lamb's book of life were cast in the lake of fire. See, listen, those folks, their destiny is that lake of fire. And see, when we get to the book of Galatians, we find out especially that they're in a works cult, but yet God's still sending the message out there to them still at Galatia. Well, God told me. I like how God changes His mind all the time, don't you? I've had people tell me that God told them stuff, and next week tell them something different and contradicted that thing, and then come back the third week and God tell them something else. I'm thinking myself, if that's your God, boy, He is so confused. If we could just find a written contract of what God said, we could just stick with that and not have to worry about these so-called voices.
Yeah.
But let me show you something else. He said, though we are an angel. My other favorite thing to hear of a cult is that an angel told him something that's different than this Bible.
Yeah.
Something totally different. You know that Joe Smith said an angel gave him all these archaeological things that he put this hat on and looked, had this vision and saw these golden tablets? Let me tell you something's funny about that. I've always thought this very striking here. Part of that Book of Mormon is plagiarized from the King James Bible, word for word. Now, back when he done this, there was really no computers, no people that owned libraries and so forth like that couldn't find it out. But now we find out that the King James Bible through the Book of Mormon was around prior to 1611. And they think we're King James only. Think about that for a minute. But Joe lied.
Right.
And Paul caught him in it.
Yeah.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, so they preach a different one? They preach a different one.
Yep.
Look here. It's not of works.
Right.
Their destiny is manifest. But I want to introduce you to somebody tonight who can change that destiny.
Right.
His name's Jesus Christ.
Right.
He died for your sins and paid for them where you ain't got to pay anything on them.
Right.
Thank God. Y'all ever been on a payment plan for anything? Dear Lord, ain't that the worst bondage in the world? Six easy payments of $9.99. This struggle to get every month to come up $9.98. I heard Michael Jordan had a car payment. I thought, no wonder he's bald-headed. He's having to sweat that thing off. I don't know what payments on a Lamborghini are, but I don't want to find out either.
You might.
But when we come to the gospel, He didn't put us on a payment plan the day we got saved. He gave us the bill paid in full.
Yeah,
and prior to you needing it was already paid for.
Yeah.
If you come to Him and ask Him to save you, He don't add to it. He finishes everything.
Amen.
He's already got it taken care of.
That's right.
Let's stand tonight with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Father, we love You tonight. God, we thank You, Lord, for the time to be